Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grillin' mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grillin' Guys.
Welcome. You are listening to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. Get out of bed, put your feet on the floor, and let's get out in our backyards and fire up a grill or a smoker, because it's going to be a gorgeous weekend. We're on the tail end of this graduation season, and summer is fully upon us. I don't know about where you're listening at, but from where I was, it was a hot week, and but a good week to be out in the backyard. I'm Jop. Barbecue Bob is on a little business trip up in Canada. We're going to touch on with him a little bit later, but joining me in the studio, I have the pleasure and honor of being able to corral one of my beer-drinking buddies, who also happens to be a very accomplished chef, and he's a humble man. He probably won't tell you much about that, but I'm going to try to make him anyway. But Chef Mike Whitman, he is a culinary educator, among many other things. But Chef Mike, welcome to the show, brother.
Good morning, Randy. It's good to be here. Great pleasure, especially to talk about Father's Day weekend. We're both fathers, so we're expecting great things. But we're going to try to help some other folks help their fathers have a great weekend as well.
Yeah, and you know what? We always start out the show that way with what we might have cooked this last week. And I had a special honor to help a buddy this week with he's cooking for his own son's wedding reception. So we spent all week doing the planning, and we've been setting this up, but it's about 175 people that they're going to have at the wedding. And we've had a lot of fun with what can we stage ahead of time versus what do we have to cook fresh and ready for that day. And I wanted to talk to you because you're a little bit about, before we get into that in too deep, but give us a little bit about your background, how long you've been doing this chef thing.
I've been being a chef professionally since 1977, so that's a couple of years.
Yeah.
And
you aren't much older than that, are you?
No, actually. And about 99, I started to pick up some adjunct work at community college within their culinary department while still working in the country club scene at that time, and enjoyed that as well, but mostly fine dining restaurants and classical cooking, but I've always loved grilling and smoking. As a matter of fact, when I was at the Thornapple Village Inn in Ada, I had, I'll throw out a little pitch here, Lou Ebling and Sons build me a grill and a smoker. And so I had a live trout tank, and I would do those smoked for appetizers. I would also cook them fresh to order.
Right.
But we would smoke those. I'd bring in quail, wild game and things, and did a lot of smoking. And I was, I don't want to say too much ahead of the curve, but there weren't many other people in town doing anything like that.
All right. Well, now we've got to dive into that because I am a trout fisherman. And just, you know, a couple months ago was the opener right at the end of April there, that last Saturday. And when you catch some trout, a lot of people don't understand how to cook that right. Because it's a very delicate meat. There's a couple things. I'd ask you about preparation of the fish itself and then maybe any seasonings or any kind of prep that you would recommend to do it if you're cooking a whole trout.
Right. Well, basically what I would do when I had an order come in from the dining room, I would have my dishwasher with a little billy club go harvest one out of the fresh tank for me, and we would butcher it on the spot and just lightly season the fish. If it was going to be sautéed, lightly flour, minimal additions to it. It speaks for itself. It's so fresh. And sauté it in a pan, baste it with a little butter, and then it would be served out in the dining room. They would bone it at tableside.
Right.
Whatnot.
So you're cooking that with the skin on it.
Yes, absolutely.
Right.
Don't need to scale them. Are there scales? Yes, but they're not worth bothering with. If I was going to cook it, another method is called au bleu, where you put it in an acidic blanching situation or poaching situation, and that fresh trout would turn blue. Amazing color. It would curl up, and you could present it on the plate, and it's just, you know, it's
almost like a ceviche type thing, but not really.
It's cooked all the way through, but the wine that is in the broth, the bouillon, would cause chemical changes in the fish's skin, and it would be blue, and that's why they call it trout au bleu.
Wow, yeah. And it's ready to eat. There's no heat
ready
put
to
it.
No.
Okay, and what kind of, so it's an acidic type solution that you're putting this in. Is it a vinegar base or?
No, it would be wine, lemon, parsley, perhaps some shallots. Let that simmer and get the flavors infused throughout the broth, and then immerse the fish. In probably about 7-8 minutes, it's poached through. Out it comes on the
plate. It is hot. The broth is hot?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, okay. It's on a stove, simmering in a constant throughout the service period, as long as I needed to have the. It's called a court bouillon.
Okay.
Ready there for the fish.
Interesting. Yeah. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network, and if you haven't figured it out already, we have an expert in the house, and he's talking about techniques that I'm unfamiliar with. Well, I'll be honest, I've never even heard of them, but that's why he's here, because the guy can give us all a little tip and technique. So for the entry level guy that wants to go and buy a trout, again, the best way to do this is just saute this thing. Can I grill it?
Yes, right. I was going to say we can absolutely grill it. I did not have a wood-burning grill in that kitchen at the time, but I've had it other kitchens since, and absolutely. And again, light seasoning, pat the fish dry, season the cavity, season the skin, one side probably for a 10-inch trout, 11-inch trout, one side about 4 minutes, maybe about 3 to 4 on the other side.
And are you putting any oil on the surface of the grill or on the fish so it doesn't stick?
I would lightly brush the fish with clarified butter, but if you've got a spray can of olive oil, have at it.
Okay.
Bottom line is that oil on the skin helps collect heat, and it makes that skin crisp, which is absolutely, when you know, you fillet a trout at the dining room, they pull the skin aside. Want it left on my plate because that's crispy and crunchy and delicious.
Oh, yeah.
So
really
that,
good.
That oil helps that happen, crisp it up nice.
Uh-huh. Yep. Wow. So that is now with the seasoning on the inside of the fish, some people like me would just put a pat of butter or two in there. Is that too much? Is it overpowering in your opinion? Or
I don't think, because the cavity is kind of watertight, it's not going to permeate outward towards the flesh. To me, you're just going to run the butter down on the grill and cause a little flare-up.
All right. That's a polite way of saying not worth it, Jop. Do something different like
that. Put that on your taters.
Yeah. There we go. Butter on taters. Nothing wrong with that. But anyway, so are you still educating at the community college?
Yes, I am. Yep, I've been there full-time about 9 years. It'll be 9 years this fall.
Right.
Love it. Absolutely love every minute of it, giving back to the kids. So there'll be kids around that can feed me when I'm an old man.
Yeah.
I want to make sure of that.
Yeah, and you're putting them in restaurants all over America.
And internationally as well. Absolutely.
So the culinary school that is there, do you have to have any kind of credentials to get into the school, or is this like right from high school, your people that are interested in cooking?
You bet. It's high schools are great feeders for us, KCTC, programs like that. I would say that kids who have been in some sort of a program prior to the college level education have a leg up.
Okay.
If they've been to a prep program that's culinary strong, you know.
Right.
So they really have a leg up.
But you'll take them right with.
Oh, absolutely.
Teach a kid how to cut an onion.
Never picked up a knife before.
Right. Yeah.
That's scary, but it's a little scary sometimes, but it works out.
I
bet they all survived.
Yeah. No lost fingers at this point?
Not yet.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Well, coming up next, we're going to have a little bit of fun. One of our longtime sponsors and a gentleman that is a great friend of mine as well is a gentleman named Steve Siciliano, and he's the proprietor of Siciliano's Market. And this is a West Michigan thing, and I apologize where you're listening, where you are, that you don't have a Siciliano's where you're at. But it isn't so much about the place, it's about what the man knows. And he is a connoisseur of wine. He's excellent with wine making and beer making, and he could even throw a little cigar recommendation in there as well. So this is a man's place. It's the Father's Day show. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back. Imagine you and your buddies in your backyard drinking a cold one and relaxing in your new outdoor bar or kitchen. Does that sound like a good time? Yeah, baby.
Then you wake up and realize you're sitting on an old deck in the glaring sun, drying out your brat on a worn-out grill. This is Jop from the Grillin' Guys, and if that's what you're cooking on in your backyard, you should call the guys at Home Life Outdoor Living. They'll help you design and build an outdoor kitchen and entertainment space that will make your backyard the talk of the neighborhood. Create some grill envy in your backyard. Call Home Life Outdoor Living at 616-682-0100.
Hey, you looking for a relaxed spot to come have a beer with a couple of buddies? Swing on over to Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson. That's just north of 28th Street, right by the ice rink. We've got 16 taps, free popcorn, free pool, and free Wi-Fi. There's even outlets underneath the bar if you need to charge your device. So come on over to Schmoe's, have a great beer. Bring the kids. We even have root beer. See you soon at Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, and our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fenn Valley Vineyards. Fenn Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fenn Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard or in Saugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to FennValley.com.
Welcome back. We're listening to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. We're doing a little Father's Day celebration here in the studio, and I'm fortunate to have a couple of my good friends and beer-drinking and wine-drinking and deer-hunting buddies of mine. Barbecue Bob is out on business. We're going to be connecting with him in the next segment, talk a little bit about what's going up there in Canada, hey? But right now, joining us in the studio, I've got Chef Mike Whitman. He's an educator, and he's forgot more about cooking than I'll ever know. And we're going to be bouncing a lot of ideas and getting some recommendations from him. But also joining us right now is a gentleman named Steve Siciliano, who owns Siciliano's Market on the west side of Grand Rapids, Michigan. Those of you that are all over the state, you're going to wish you had one of these in your backyard like I do, because we're about to take a little dive into some fun things for Dad for Father's Day. And Steve, welcome to the show.
Jop, I'm glad to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, you know what? I'm glad you're here, too. So let's get right after this. You are a purveyor of fine wines. Your store has, I don't know the number, but I'm going to not exaggerate and say 500 or 600 different craft beers in there. It may be more than that.
It might be more than that. Maybe my employees know, but I've never counted them.
Yeah, so. Right. No reason to. Yeah. They're not on the shelf long. They're in and out of there. But what I've always been impressed with is the knowledge of your staff and you yourself with regard to what it is that you guys do, because it can be overwhelming.
It can be overwhelming. And one of the things we're very proud about is our staff makes our store, and our staff is very, very passionate. They know everything about craft beer, fine wines, quality spirits, and beer and winemaking supplies. So our store has gotten a lot of accolades over the years, but it's because of our staff.
Yeah, well, that's great. That's a testament to you, because you're leading that effort. But so let's talk a little bit about, I want to buy Dad a cigar. And if Mom is walking into your store, what are the two or three things that she needs to know about Dad to help you help her?
Well, one of the first things I ask somebody who's buying a cigar as a gift for somebody else is, how often do they smoke cigars? Because that kind of tells me if they're an occasional cigar smoker, I usually steer them to something mild to medium. If they tell me that they smoke a lot of cigars, Then I'll usually go with some maybe some Nicaraguan blends, a little bit stronger, fuller flavor. And then I always also ask what size they like, because there's all kinds of sizes. And, of course, price range. We have cigars anywhere from $2 up to $18.
So. Right, per stick.
Per stick.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. So I see you brought some cigars with you today. Let's talk a little bit about this, because they're kind of unique.
They are unique. They're made by Perdomo Cigars. They have a facility in Nicaragua. And when I first saw these, I thought it was a bit of gimmicky, but believe me, they're not. Perdomo makes great cigars, and these cigars are blended to go with craft beers. The Perdomo calls it the craft beer series, the special craft beer selection. And they have three different blends or three different wrappers. One's a Connecticut wrap, one's a sun-grown wrap, and one's a Maduro wrap. And they're designed to go, the Connecticut wrap is they call the Pilsner. The sun-grown wrap they call the Amber, and the Maduro wrap they call the Stout. And these are designed to go with craft beers. So and they're very, very, very good cigars.
So for somebody that doesn't know the difference, you just started out, we can draw the parallel. A Pilsner's a light beer. A red is a red. A stout is a very dark beer. That's kind of where these wrappers go, and it's kind of from mild to bold.
To bold, that's right? Correct. So if somebody wanted to drink a Pilsner or a wheat beer or a Kolsch, nice summertime drinking beers, we definitely would pair it up with the Pilsner wrap or the Connecticut wrap. Some Irish ales, some amber ales, and so on would go with the sun-grown wrap, and stouts, porters, barley wines, and so on would go well with the Maduro wrap, which they call the stout.
Right. Pretty cool. So obviously you've got this whole cigar thing down. You've got a couple walk-in humidors there at the store. What I would encourage people to do is not be intimidated by this process, but be curious, right?
Exactly right. Folks sometimes can get intimidated by anything we sell, whether it's cigars or wine or craft beer. And what we try to do is really put folks at ease and encourage questions. I'm a novice at this. I don't know much. And we try to put folks at ease and say there are no stupid questions.
Right. So. Chef Mike, the culinary school actually has a beer-making curriculum now, don't they?
Absolutely. We've completed one full year of educating potential craft beer brewers, and so far the placement of those who have moved through the one-year certificate program are all working in industry, and we're having great success.
Well, that's cool. So a big part of the craft beer industry is pairing food with it. Let's talk a little bit about pairing food with a cigar. Now, I don't want to catch you offline here, but Steve just put it on us, so what are you thinking about that?
Well, I would certainly think the cigar would come at the end of the meal.
Right.
And at that point, maybe you're pulling some smoked cheeses that you might have done on your grill with whatever flavored smoke you'd want. Obviously, with cheeses, you have to cold smoke them, so you're going to have an offset heat source. And then the cheese, perhaps, on a rack over some ice so that you don't melt the cheese. I would also wrap it up with some cheesecloth, and that helps it keep its shape while it's getting smoked. So I might have a cigar. I might have a nice stout and some cheese that would go well with that, like blue vein cheeses, things like that. If I was going to go towards more of the Pilsner end, the lighter end, I might, after the meal, have some brie and some nuts and fruit, and then enjoy that lighter cigar with some a nice Pilsner.
I'd say he stepped up and hit that curveball.
That was fantastic, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, when we were down in Nicaragua in January, we smoked some cigars with coffee, and it was amazing how well that went. And my wife, Barb, who doesn't really smoke a lot of cigars, you could hardly pry that cigar out of her hand with that coffee. So.
Very cool. Steve, you do a lot of beer making and wine making, which those are also very good Father's Day gifts because there's kits available, aren't there?
Yes, we sell equipment kits for both beer and wine. For around about $100, you can get a starter kit for beer, a starter kit for wine. And there are different levels of beer making and wine making, from very easy to complicated. A good analogy I like using is you're a fisherman, you're a trout fisherman, and I love to fly fish on the Little Manistee River, PM, right. and so on. But making wine is real similar to fishing. You could sit in a rowboat and fish with a cane pole for bluegills, or you can go fly fishing on the Little Manistee. Very simple to fly fish with a cane pole, very complicated to do fly fishing for trout. But winemaking is similar to that. You've got as far as you want it to go, as complicated as you want it to go. So,
very cool. But if somebody was interested in getting a kit for Dad for Father's Day to get him started, they could certainly come into your place or others like it. But here in West Michigan, it's Siciliano's, and you're going to walk in and there's going to be somebody there that can guide you through the process.
We always have folks on hand to help people, and we really enjoy getting people in the beer making and wine making
process. So for those two or three questions that mom or the son or daughter needs to know to answer for, I want to get Dad a wine making kit. He's always talked about it. What two or three things should they know so you can help them?
Again, we ask them what they want to make wine out of, and the easiest way to make wine, and it makes very good wine, is what's called an ingredients kit. For anywhere from $60 to $120, you can put this kit together with the equipment, of course, and produce 120 bottles, or not, I'm sorry, you can produce 30 bottles of wine. So
30 bottles of wine,
and it makes very, very, very good wine.
For $100.
That's the easiest way to do it. Now, if somebody says he wants to make wine from fresh fruits, vegetables, then we would certainly tell him how to do that as well.
All right, very cool. Well, Steve, if you could stick around for another segment, we have just scratched the surface on the things I want to touch upon. Coming up next, Barbecue Bob is somewhere up there in Canada, eh? We're going to give him a call.
This is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's garrettsappliances.com, garrettsappliances.com.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120, where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA. Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I've ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, We'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guys show.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. Get out of bed, put your feet on the floor, and get out in your backyard and create some grill envy in your neighborhood. You know what? It's Father's Day. We're talking all things that you can do with and for Dad. We were going to reach out to Barbecue Bob, who's on a little work break this week, and evidently we didn't pay our duty at the Canadian border because we can't get a phone call over to him. But if he dials in here in a minute, we'll try to work him into the program. But that's no big deal because in the studio I have Steve Siciliano from Siciliano's Market. We've been having a little bit of fun about wine and beer and cigars and all that stuff that Dad would like. And we also have Chef Whitman here, who is an educator, a barbecue chef extraordinaire, as well as one of my drinking buddies. And I see you got the book open, Chef. What are we learning today?
Well, it looks like we're going to talk about brining and rubs, when to use them, what types of products need what type of rubs, and et cetera, and brines. I'm mostly a rub guy. If I'm going to like put a turkey on my grill and cook it long term, I am going to brine it.
Okay.
And you probably always want to stay within a 5 to 7% saline solution, which is about a cup of salt to a gallon of water. Put whatever herbs and whatever you want to put in there for flavoring. It can't hurt. But the brine will actually be able to absorb into the meat going from a strong salt solution to the bird, which is not. So it's kind of a one-way ticket, but it helps at the end of the cooking process to keep moisture retained. When we eat a lot of salt, we retain moisture. So whatever we're putting on the grill, if it's brined beforehand, we'll do the same, make a better eating product. Now, for smaller things, I'm not a huge advocate of brining. I'm more of a rub guy because you don't have a whole lot of time with half an hour brine or marinade to make any impact on the end flavor. So what's on the surface, if you marinate it with some olive oil, onions, herbs, that's going to remain on the surface. The oil will help brown the steak. But if you start to go with more acid marinades and such, if they sit in there for too long, the acid can actually start to cook the protein on the outside and make it kind of mushy, like an overnight marinade of a steak. I would never recommend, because they just, the outside of the meat has just changed significantly. So, exterior rub, if I'm doing a fish, I'm going to keep my seasonings mild, maybe onion, garlic, a little bit of salt, always a little bit of sugar. Sugar helps with the caramelizing, bringing some good flavor to it. So mild application of rub ingredients for things like chicken and fish. You get into some bolder cuts of strong flavored game or something, you can up it a little bit, maybe put a little heat to it. But just rub it into the skin. Small cuts, chicken breasts, things like that, 15 minutes to a half an hour with the rub on prior to cooking. Larger cuts, well, maybe a large porterhouse, 2-pound porterhouse or something, give it an hour or something and let that rub on the surface kind of liquefy a little bit with the moisture from the meat. Then when you put it on the grill, it's going to help form a wonderful, tasty crust.
Yeah, ooh, that sounds good. There was a lot there. Steve, thinking about marinating with wines, are some wines more acidic than others that we should stay away from? I mean, reds versus whites, or what's the rule on that?
Well, whites, for the most part, will be more acidic, but it really depends on what country it comes from as well. Like New Zealand, with the Sauvignon Blancs from New Zealand, they're very acidic, very racy, and I love them to drink, but I'm not really sure about what you're looking for in marinades, but if you're looking for something a little bit lower in acidity, probably a red Zinfandel would be good for the red wines, some Chardonnays, Pinot Grigios for the whites.
What do you think about that, Mike?
That makes perfect sense. Absolutely. Bottom line is, what you're going to eat is where you want, you know, that's going to be center focus. You'll have some nice aromatic things from a nice wine marinade that will linger on the surface of the meat and, you know, make it taste better. Again, with steaks and small cuts, a half an hour should do it. Again, giving the acid the ability to be present, but not cooking the meat before you put it on the grill.
Right. Okay. Now, I've been told that with the dry rubs, that if you put a lot of salt, I'm a I'm a savory guy. I'm not a sweet guy, right? I've been told that. You'll hear from Michelle a little later. But anyway, the savory where the salts are forward, I'm a guy that likes quite a little bit of salt, and I use a kosher salt on my it's flakier, right?
Yep.
Is there what's kind of the science or the reasoning why that seems to – all I know is it works better for me when I use a flaky salt rather than a granulated.
It's going to dissolve a little slower than the small crystals in a table salt. And here's another little tip. If you happen to have brined something and then you want to rub on the exterior of it, I would avoid the salt completely in the rub, because otherwise you're going to wind up with a product salted from the inside and salted on the outside, and your blood pressure is going to spike and ruin your day.
Yeah, and you're going to be really thirsty after you eat
too.
It. Because
which you could drink salty. More craft beer.
Right.
That wouldn't be bad.
Right. So let's talk about craft beer. Steve, there's for as many names as there are, there's that many styles out there. But for the Father's Day, the person that's coming in that is maybe just diving into craft beer a little bit and is only looking to get just off their Bud Light or just off their Miller Lite, where do they start?
We'd like starting folks with German Pils, and there's some wonderful German Pils out there, some German Hefeweizens, and domestic breweries in America are making some wonderful pils as well. So that would be where I would start. That's where I would direct folks to go if they're just making the transition into craft beer. Some good pilsners, American wheats or Hefeweizens, and then from there maybe some amber ales.
Right. So that's it's not going to just overpower your palate with that hops. It's going to be a lighter tasting beer and help you with that transition.
Exactly. We don't want to start somebody with a very, very hoppy double IPA because they would probably do the bitter beer face.
Right. So Mike, the pairing of the foods, the marinades, and the things that we're actually impregnating the meat, if you will, with a seasoning when we go into the brines. The rubs is more on the surface. Is that right?
Yes.
So when we go with the brines in there, is there a rule of thumb of not too much of this or enough of that? I know you said a little bit of sugar and it's like an 8-to-1 salt to water. What else are we looking for there, just a rule of thumb?
Just some nice, good aromatic herbs. Thyme, parsley, a little bit of garlic, things that, oregano, basil in the summertime, certainly, especially for chicken and fish. And you want to mash the herbs up a little bit, bruise them a little bit before you put them in the marinade. They'll give off more flavor and benefit the finished product that way.
So I got one more way that people always ask about is the injection of this solution inside the meat.
Absolutely.
Versus soaking it in it. What's the difference there? Is there anything I need to be careful of?
Well, I don't know about careful, but if you want the flavor to get inside the meat, you're going to need to inject it. Because a marinade or a brine over 24 hours may get in not even an inch. You know, a shorter term would be an 1/8 of an inch. So if you want the flavor inside, get yourself a needle, put whatever flavors you want in there, put it in between the muscles, in the muscles, on the fat cap, if there is such a thing, and basically all the big joints, if it's a bird, get the marinade there, and then it's inside, it's going to cook, and it's going to perfume the rest of the product. And that's where you're going to get some good benefit from internal seasoning.
So you know, I've got this syringe. It's about the size of a 50-cent piece, and it's 6 inches long, and I fill that thing with the juice, whatever I have that I want to put in there. How much of it do I put in each spot? I mean, I've seen it where you can stick that in there on a turkey.
You can puff it up.
The leg quarter will puff up about double in size, and that seems like too much.
That's a little excessive. You know, if you've got 4 ounces in there, put 2 ounces at every spot you stop, max.
I see. Okay. All right. Well, apparently Barbecue Bob has reached out from Canada there, eh? And we're going to pick him up here in the next segment. But you're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.
I see the light. I don't mean the neon kind. One kiss from you tonight and send me on to the other side. Sipping on this 7-7. Never been this close to heaven. Got a 30 turned up to 11. Dropping all dead on the dance.
I like my backyard. I like being outside all year long. I work hard, I exercise, and live life to the max. Nothing's better than slipping out in my Arctic spa and relaxing with my family. The Spa Boy Advanced Water Care System keeps my water crystal clear, and I control everything from my smartphone, iPad, or laptop. Check out arcticspas.com and find the perfect hot tub for your home. I'm Barbecue Bob.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? Brings back memories, doesn't it? Well, over at Schmoe's, we make root beer and black cherry soda just to bring back those memories. We've got six packs to go if you don't have time to hang around for a pint or a float. But bring the kids, grab a free basket of popcorn, and make your own memories with that new generation. Schmoe's Brewery, Grand Rapids, Michigan, located on Patterson, just north of 28th Street.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the Father's Day edition, and Barbecue Bob is out doing a little better paying work than the Grilling Guys. So he's up in Canada there, hey, and we got him live on the grilling line right now. Barbecue Bob, how's the weather up there, eh?
Hey, boys. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful day in Alberta, Canada, buddy.
Yeah, I bet it is. Have you been getting this, since you've been gone, at least down here in Michigan, we've had these 85, 90-degree days, man. It's been, you wanted to be grilling in your shorts, I'm going to just say that.
That's what I hear from the family. No, it's been glorious here, just like 75, and I'm right on the Saskatchewan River. It's really swollen quite heavily. One of the fastest moving rivers in Canada, and we have a 108-acre ranch here, corporate ranch that we do our training in, and it's a very cool facility. But anyway, the river comes in towards the back here of the house, and it's going so fast that it's literally cut 20 feet under the bank. The DNR, whatever they call their ministry up here, has put flags up along the lawn as to as far out as you can walk, because the whole thing's just going to cave right in. And
wow.
The river is gigantic, and it's like, I think, their fastest flowing river, and it ends up in the Hudson Bay. So if you fall in, you're going to have a long trip.
Yeah. Hang on. It's going to be floating a while. But what's been on the grill up there this week?
Oh, man, these boys have been putting me to work. Not only do I have to sit in meetings all day, but I have to, keep the smoker going and keep these boys fed, because they just love barbecue. I think they're taking advantage of me, Jop, to be honest with you.
Oh, cry me a river. I've been your grill bitch for years. I know exactly what they're making you do.
Oh, last night we had brisket and some butts, and I'm using this smoker that they've got here. It's one of these big cabinet smokers, and it's a decent unit, larger, smoky hollow. It's, stands about 6 feet tall, but I think when I switched tanks, we were in a hurry. We had to head off to the factory, and I switched tanks, and my hands are kind of greasy, and I don't think I tightened the valve down quite enough, so I think while we were gone, the tank freaked out and went into safety mode. So we got back. I was down to 200 degrees for the several hours we were gone. So my cook was quite delayed. We didn't carve any brisket till about 8 o'clock at night.
It's slow smoked, right? That's what that one's
sure
all about.
Is. Yeah. I tell you what, it was a beautiful, beautiful Alberta Angus, and that brisket was fantastic.
So, Bob, it's Father's Day, man, and you got some cool ideas for a Father's Day barbecue. Let's break those down.
I'm just looking at Food Network magazine, which comes to my house courtesy of you, And they had a nice little insert in the last edition, and it was cool, a little pocket guide, 50 burger toppings. If you can get your hands on a Food Network magazine, this recent edition, it's got a nice little pullout for 50 burger toppings. And, you know, we love our hot dog and hamburger toppings at our house, and so this is kind of right up my alley. But I thought if the kids wanted to do something for Dad, this would be a cool thing they could do. And for all you dads listening, if you like what we're going to talk about, just at around 11 a.m. Eastern, go to thegrillingguys.com and punch up this show and copy the URL address and send it to your kids so they can listen to a couple of these editions, and then they'll know what to make you. But one is a spicy lime mayonnaise, and it's like a half cup mayo and a quarter cup of a Korean chili paste, basically. It's called gochujang, and a tablespoon of lime juice and a little salt. That's just a nice little twist, a little Korean twist. Another one that I really love, this is a better variation than I make, so it's an olive relish, and it's 3/4 cup of green olives and a garlic clove, some olive oil, some capers, parsley, and lemon zest with a little lemon juice. That's another good one. Now, you can also take those olives and chop them up and a little lemon zest and add them to some mayo, and then you can make an olive burger quite easily that way. There's another great one here, a grilled kimchi relish. I won't go into that because I think most people don't like kimchi as much as I do.
A little spicy.
Too much of a Korean kick.
Yeah.
But there's another one here, a bourbon bacon jam. And this looks really cool because it's got sauteing chopped bacon and then adding in some red onions, some chopped garlic, and then about a half cup of cider vinegar after you drain your grease off, a couple tablespoons of brown sugar, and then as much bourbon as you like. Save some for the recipe. And then just simmer it until it starts to evaporate, about 15 minutes, and bourbon bacon jam. Sounds just fantastic.
Yeah, that does sound good, man.
Sugar and vinegar and bourbon, yeah.
Well, when are you coming back stateside?
I will be heading home this afternoon.
Oh, very good. So you'll be home in time for Father's Day and Grandfather's Day as well, in your case.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
absolutely.
Right. So, I'm glad you have such capable and overqualified help in there in the studio. It's nice, Mike, that you could come in and hang out with your buddy Jop.
It's a great pleasure to be here, Bob.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, if your plane gets stuck, you'll be back next week because I miss you, but not that much. Okay, man?
No, I fly enough that my airline, Delta, upgraded me on the way up here, so I got to fly first class, and I forgot what I was missing. That's really the only way to go.
Yeah. All right. Well, Barbecue right. Bob, travel safe, brother, and we'll see you when you get back, and you're back in a chair next week.
Safe travels, awesome. Bob.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Barbecue Bob in Canada, hey? He's up there and having a little bit of fun. So, you know what? We're going to take a little curveball right now. Joining us in the studio is Michelle Burton from A Fine Touch Day Spa and Salon. And guys, I was probably the largest skeptic of having a massage. I thought it was inappropriate. I thought it was for sissies. I thought it was just not for me until I had my first one. And then it's like, why in H double hockey stick did I wait until I was 51 years old to have one of these for the first time? Because this is great. But Michelle, let's break down a little bit of this, what a guy can expect when he gets a professional massage therapist like yourself to provide a service.
Thank you for having me on the show, Jop. What they're going to expect is a good tune-up to their body. Our body is actually great for keeping up for the daily activities, but when you have too much inflammation, it's stuck. Basically, you won't be able to turn your neck or you can't raise your arm very well. A massage will help you with a good swing for your golf, for your batting, for your softball. A massage also will help you keep in tune, living longer, healthier, and it's like a car tune-up. The body needs a tune-up too. So basically, you would want to get one massage every quarter to keep your body actively in tune. So even a body scrub is good for your tune-up. Your skin is the largest organ, so you actually don't realize that men should get facials too.
Okay, so I've not had a facial, but for the massage, where I met you was I had an injury. My physical therapy wasn't working well, and I was grousing about it, and we were at a place where we were introduced to each other, and you said, I think I can help you with that. I was probably the largest skeptic of it, and you're like, you know what, just try it. I won't charge you for the first time, and I'm like, okay, freeze. What am I got to lose, right? Well, I've been working with you ever since. As a result of that, because it was phenomenal, the movement that I was able to gain just from the physical therapy was working the muscles, and you were working the scar tissue and working the deep into the muscle, not me lifting and moving it, but just relaxing it and trying to break down the toxins that were in there. I remember you found these knots that were in my muscles that I didn't even know were there, and when you worked them out, it was like amazing how much better I felt.
That is true. We don't realize how much inflammation is in our body. It starts off with, as you're an infant, you lay there for 9 months. Nobody stretches you out. And then you actually learn how to walk, and you walk into walls, and the inflammation starts. So as we grow, we're starting to have more activities during the day, whether it's backpacks that we're carrying on our back. You can actually have a lot of inflammation and not even realize it. So when somebody comes to me, they'll lay down and I'll look and see how and feel how much toxins are in the body, how many knots, and sometimes a knot can produce a whole rope into the body that needs to be broken up. And after a good massage, you need to drink lots of water to flush that through.
Guys, ask your wife, your significant other, your kids for a 60-minute massage, and it's not a inappropriate thing at all. It's a very professional environment, and I tell you what, this is the best piece of advice you're going to get from the Grilling Guys today. If you've never had a massage, you need to go get one. You will thank me for it. I know it. Michelle, where's your shop at?
I'm at 6745 East Fulton Street, right on the hill, right by Amway Corporation.
Okay, right here in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Yes.
But for those of you that aren't from this area, seek one out, find a professional therapist, and get a little massage for Father's Day. You're going to be glad you did. Coming up next, we might have a little bit of man law, and we're going to wrap up a few of these Father's Day gifts. You're listening to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
If your window sticks, slips, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
Now you're a man, a man, man, man. Now you're a man, a manny, manny, man, a man, man, man. You are now a man, you're a man. Now you're a man.
Yeah, today's man law. It's all about Father's Day, and this one's very appropriate. A father is someone you look up to, no matter how tall you've grown. take that one to the bank, brother. I don't care if you get to be 6'5 and dad's 5'5. You better look up to Papa the whole time you got him, because guess what? I'm 53 years old. I don't have mine anymore, and I miss him every day. And I just think that I was a snot-nosed kid for a while and probably back-talked more than I should have. And you know what? As you get older, you get wiser, and you find out how wise dad really was. So always look up to your father, and you will not go wrong. Let's talk about some Father's Day gifts to wrap this up. Steve, you are in a daddy candy store, right? I mean, I got beer, I got wine, I got cigars, and
we have all.
Yeah, exactly. So if I want to spend $50 at the store, let's talk about what I could put together for that for dad.
Well, if dad loves good bourbon, scotch, rye, good spirits, we're very proud of the fact that we're really expanding our liquor selection. And we have a fellow, John, who does our liquor ordering. He's doing a fantastic job. So we have all kinds of great bourbons, ryes, all kinds of good spirits. Pair that up with a cigar, boom, you're ready to go.
There you are, man. Chef Whitman.
Yes.
Here we are, brother. It's time for some recommendations from the chef on what gadgets or goodies you would have around your grill if you had the perfect Father's Day gift.
Well, I tell you what, last year for Father's Day, I got a pizza stone, and I put some pizzas on my smoker at about 450 degrees. Doesn't really impart a ton of smoke flavor, but you put the stone in, preheat it, and it crisps it up. It's a beautiful thing, and it's just fun to do it outdoors. So hey, if you want to get your dad's a pizza stone, that's a great idea. Another gotta have for the grill is a digital thermometer.
Absolutely.
And you've got to have one that you can put a probe into whatever you're cooking, whether it's a chicken thigh or a hamburger, and then have one that has the wire lead will go outside of the cooking unit, and you can monitor the internal temperature of that with the grill top on, which is always a good idea. So a thermometer, pizza stone. Another great gift I got was a vegetable basket. My wife loves gobs of vegetables, so I whack them up, I season them, and I put them on with whatever I'm grilling, and it's just an awesome sear it puts on them, great flavor. And minimal cleanup, it's a beautiful thing. So those are my recommendations.
That's right. And those baskets are not expensive.
No.
They're easy. They even got throwaway ones if you wanted to do that, if you're camping or something like that. The ones I have are stainless steel, little mesh, just so the vegetables don't fall through it.
Exactly.
Right.
Yep. And the heat comes up through it.
Yeah. Another good one that I use are books. I see that you're an educator. Your world is around books. And you brought in a book today that it's The Science of Great Barbecue and Grilling by a gentleman who calls himself Meathead, which is Meathead Goldwyn. And this guy is the father of barbecue. He's very, very knowledgeable, but it's practical applications of technical stuff.
Yes, a lot of cooking science put in a very easy-to-absorb way.
Right, and easy-to-absorb is good. Always remember, grilling is a one-handed sport. You've got your favorite beverage in the opposite hand of the tongs, and just make it happen that way. Steve, if people in West Michigan want to find Siciliano's Market, where's that at?
On the west side of Grand Rapids, 2840 Lake Michigan Drive, about 2 miles down from downtown.
Right. It is a destination. If you get to Grand Rapids in West Michigan, you want to go there. You're going to experience one of the big boy toy stores in the area that is one of the best I know. But you've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every weekend. I hope you have a safe and happy Father's Day, and we'll talk with you next week.
Feel the callus on his hands and dusty overalls.